at the idea of being grateful or being thankful in any circumstance. And if you were here for class this morning, you may have looked at some of the passages that Paul deals with this in the Corinthian letter. We're continuing our series, and we'll actually be going two more Sundays in our focus study on the book of 1 Corinthians. I thought that since the most of the class time probably being spent there in Corinthians, we'd look at some other texts. In our class this morning, the Faith Builders class, Bruce Chilton was our teacher, did a good job. And actually, one of the passages he used was Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that we looked at our text. But we just spent some time in that class and just told what we were thankful for. And I know we do this from time to time, but I want to look this morning at this idea. And how do we get to where we can be thankful at all times? How do we get to that point? What leads us to that point? And I think you probably know these answers as we go through this, but something nonetheless to consider this morning. It's just sort of coincidental that this particular topic fell in line fairly close with our Thanksgiving holiday. Of course, it will be a week from Thursday. In light of that, I thought I would share with you the following proclamation that was made by Governor Bradford in 1623, which was 3 years after the pilgrims settled at Plymouth. It says, "To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he has protected us from the raids of savages, he spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye leaders and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty for all his blessings." Of course, we are coming upon a time that we call Thanksgiving, one day in which we, like those early pilgrims, set aside time in our busy schedule to give thanks to God. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think the Word of God tells us that we should be doing this on a continual, daily basis. It's not just something that we do. It's what we do. It's what we are. It's the spirit that we have. What is our perspective on Thanksgiving this morning? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 tells Christians to speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, back to our reading there from 1 Thessalonians 5. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul's main subject here is praise and thanksgiving. But notice the important words in these passages. And look at these words. Always, continually, and in all circumstances. Does that tend to put a different light on the subject? A little bit more broad spectrum in looking at this? You know, it sounds as if Paul were talking about a church service, especially there in Ephesians where he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart. But he's actually talking about a continual attitude for Christians, an attitude of the heart. How we are to teach each other, how we are to be toward each other. But how, you may wonder, can we have this attitude continually, especially in all circumstances? And I believe the answer to this lies in our perspective of thanksgiving. We need the proper perspective. That's what we want to look at for a short time this morning. There was a story once told of three men, and these three men were in a retirement home. And as sometimes guys do, even in later years in life in the retirement setting, they were trying to one-up the other one. And this, the way they did that particular day, was they were talking about their ailments and how frail they were getting in their older years. The first man of the three spoke up and he said, "You all are so lucky. I can't see hardly anything. I can barely see 3 feet in front of me. How fortunate you all are to have good eyesight, and never take that for granted." The second man began his complaining. He said, "Well, that's nothing." He said, "Look at me. I've got this tremor, this shake. I can't even bring a cup of coffee to my mouth. How much I long for a cup of coffee, and I just can't do that. At least you have the capabilities of doing that." Well, the third man chimed in. He said, "That's nothing. You both are so fortunate. You both should be thankful." He said, "I'll walk into the middle of the room and completely forget why I walked into that room. I'll start up the stairs and have no idea why I'm going upstairs." He said, "You're just so fortunate to have the capabilities that you all have." And then he spoke up and he said, "Well, however, we all three need to be very thankful that we still have our driver's license." And that's probably true. I mean, we see some drivers that maybe we wonder sometimes. But what's your perspective on thankful this morning? To be thankful in all circumstances, we do need a proper perspective of our circumstances and of our God. And only then will we be able to give thanks to the Lord always. In the onset this morning, I think there are three attitudes that steal away our gratitude. And if you think about this and are honest with yourself, you would say, I can see that how that could steal away my gratitude. Number one is our pride. You know, that's the attitude that says, "Nobody ever gave me anything. I have done all of this on my own. I have worked so hard to get to where I am today. I've accomplished a lot and I've done it on my own." Where is that continually pointing? Back to self, isn't it? What kind of attitude do we have when it comes to what we have done or how we have accomplished things? Pride sometimes stands in our way. Another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit or a constant complaining. Do you know that person? That constant complainer, that critical spirit that never finds good in anything. Doesn't matter what's going on, there's something that isn't quite right. You know, there was a lady that was known as an incurable grumbler. She was constantly complaining about everything. And at last, the minister in her congregation thought, "I've found something that she can't find anything wrong with." This lady was a farmer. She grew potatoes. And she'd had a bumper crop that year. Everyone had talked about how good the potato crop had been that particular year. So she went up and said, "Mary, you must be very happy this year. Everyone's saying how healthy your potatoes look." Mary replied to the minister, said, "True, they're pretty good, but what am I going to do when I need bad ones to feed the pigs?" So, you know, there's something to complain in everything. And we can find that. We know that. Then I think a third attitude that keeps us from being grateful is simply carelessness. Someone once said, if we only had stars in the sky one night a year, we would be more thankful for the stars. We might stay up all night just to view and gaze at the beauty that God has left for us. But we have those stars night after night, and we take them for granted. We become accustomed to them. We're careless in how we view certain things. And I think that's probably only human nature to a certain extent, but something to think about nonetheless. You know, the Israelites grumbled because they had no food. So God set manna before them in a miraculous way, provided for them day after day after day. And then what happened? They became tired of what they were eating. They complained about not having a variety and started to grumble because it was the same thing every day. The famous English poet and writer Joseph Kipling, written things that have been enjoyed by many for many, many years. And unlike many old writers, Kipling was one of the few who had an opportunity to enjoy success while he was still living. He also made a great deal of money because of his work. And there was one time that a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that someone has calculated that the money you make from your writings amounts to over $100 per word." Mr. Kipling, a bit taken back by that comment, raised his eyebrows and said, I certainly wasn't aware of that. But the reporter cynically pulled a $100 bill out of his pocket and handed it to Kipling and said, here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now you give me one of your $100 words for the paper. Mr. Kipling looked up at the $100 bill, neatly folded it, placed it in his pocket, and simply said, thanks. That is the $100 word, isn't it? Sometimes a $1 million word. But a way of life, and not just an expression. If any nation ought to be thankful to God and grateful for His goodness, it ought to be our nation, America. If any people in America ought to be thankful to God and grateful for His goodness, it ought to be Christians. Is that right? Sure. Sure it is. I want to look at three things this morning when we're looking at our perspective on Thanksgiving. Or on being thankful, being grateful, however you want to look at that this morning. Number one, thanksgiving should be expressed. One of the courses that we sing is found in Psalms 100, which says, enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Also, David said in Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. We should express our thanks to God and to others. You remember the story in Luke chapter 17? You've read that story. You've looked at it. The 10 that were healed, of those 10, how many came back? We know that story. One came back and expressed his gratitude, expressed his thankfulness to Jesus for healing him. What did he say to that man? Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said that? I mean, like the others, the man was already healed of his leprosy. From the time they went to show themselves to the priest, he was clean. He had already been healed. But when Jesus says this thing to this one man, your faith has made you well, he wasn't just talking about a physical healing. He was talking about a spiritual one and a mental one. He had been made whole. You know, we too are made whole by our thanksgiving. Psychologists today tell us that sincere gratitude or thanksgiving is the healthiest of all human emotions. And if you think about that, you can probably say there's some truth to that. We feel good when we have that attitude. Gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in our life. And a thankful heart will endear others to us and us to them. Thanksgiving is not only good for the giver, but for the receiver as well. God appreciates our thanksgiving. It lifts Him up, it glorifies Him, and endears Him to us. It draws us closer. If we're not grateful, if we don't express our thanksgiving, it can then have the opposite effect. Remember what Paul says in Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, this passage simply implies or seems to imply that people who are ungrateful to God will soon fall away. Their hearts will become hardened. Pride possibly keeping people from worshiping God and being thankful. How do we say thanks to God? How do we tell God thank you? We do that through prayer. We've done that this morning already. You may have gone to God in a private way this morning and thanked Him for the blessings of this day. But there are so many other ways as well. In the time that we spend with Him. In our forgiveness to others. In our service to the church. In our willingness to share His plan of salvation to a neighbor or a co-worker. In our willingness to reach out to hurting people. And when we praise Him enthusiastically from the heart. Our thanksgiving should be expressed. We must do that. Number two, our thanksgiving should be expansive. We so often limit it and maybe don't carry through in all the areas that would be of benefit. It should include three things when we think about it. The blessings of life, that sort of goes without saying. You know, often our prayers are very general. We say, thank you, God, for all your blessings. But do we really know what blessings we are thanking God for? Do we ever stop and say, thank you, God, for... and then list those blessings one by one. Do we take count of our life? I mentioned this morning in our class, we went around from person to person, those things that they were thankful for. What an awesome thing to do and really make one think about their life and where they're headed. I asked Jackson if I could share this as an illustration, and he said that would be fine. It was a book that he wrote called My Life. I think sometimes we need to sit down and write a book and just think about our lives. He wrote this at the ripe old age of second grade. Of course, he's matured now to a third grader, so really come a long way. But in the table of contents, he said, chapter one was my life as a baby. Chapter two, my brothers and I. Chapter three, kindergarten wasn't easy. Chapter four, first grade was fun. And chapter five, here I am in second grade. But it was chapter six that caught my attention, said, my life is good. So I turned over to chapter six. He entitled that, My Life is Good. He said, my life is good. I have a couch that is so comfy and a DS game that I can play whenever I want. My life is good. But you know what I liked about that? There were two things that specifically made his life good. And he thought about those. Do we often think of the good things that we have, the good things that we enjoy, what we've been blessed with? Or do we say, thank you, God, for blessing me? Should be expansive, the blessings of life. Also, the burdens of life. You know, that's the tough one. Once again, to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we're looking at this morning. Ephesians 5, always giving thanks. You may think, surely Paul made a mistake, or that wasn't easy for him to say. Look at what Paul went through. Suffered the thorn in the flesh. We've talked about that in the past. He'd been run out of town, beaten, whipped, imprisoned, betrayed by friends, left cold and naked, hungry and shipwrecked, and even stoned, being left for dead. Yet Paul never stopped giving thanks. And we see that in so many places within his writings. Romans 8 and verse 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And Philippians 1 and verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. When we, like Paul, have the proper perspective, we can give thanks in all circumstances, no matter our position in life. And here, I don't think Paul is saying we have to be thankful for our problems. You may be sitting there this morning saying, Dwight, you have absolutely no idea what I'm enduring right now. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I may not. But I think Paul here is saying, don't be thankful for your problems, be thankful in your problems. And that's the way he expressed his thankfulness. Remember the story of the Philippian jailer? He was ready to take his own life because the earthquake had freed the prisoners. And under Roman law, if the prisoners were released or escaped somehow, then the jailer's life would be taken. So he was going to do that and save going through all of the trial and that type of thing. But what had been happening that night? You know, I think the attitude of Peter and Silas during their difficult imprisonment, they could have been complaining. They could have been fighting amongst themselves, bickering with one another. What were they doing? They were praying and singing. The jailer had heard this, and through that, you know the end of the story. Before that night ended, he and his entire household were baptized. They'd come to know Christ through the attitude of another. The burdens of life, we get through. And then the benefits of life as well. When we're talking about the expansive of our thankfulness. When the Israelites focused on what they didn't have, they failed to see all that they did. You know, we're constantly adding to our prayer list, but I think more than anything, we should be adding to our praise list. We have difficult times to endure. Maybe even times that we've despaired, even of life itself. But I think if we really look at all the benefits of life, I think we'll find that it's good to be alive, to feel the wind in our face, to see the sunrise, to fall in love, to see our newborn child for the first time, to feel our child or our parent or even a friend hug us and tell us that we're special to them. The benefits of life, there are so many. There was an experiment conducted by a advertising firm in New York's Central Park. Sort of an interesting experiment, but they dressed up a man and gave him a cup to collect money. One day they put a sign around his neck that simply read, "I'm blind." They located him in a certain place in the park, and on that day he collected about $4. The next day they dressed up the same man the very same way, put him in the very same spot in the park. But the sign this time read, "It's spring and I'm blind." That day he collected nearly $40 in the cup. You know, that day I think the people walking by him realized how blessed they were by the beautiful flowers, the birds, the sunrise and the sunset. Simply by that reminder, it's spring. Be thankful for the benefits of this life. And then number three, our thanks must be expressed. It must be expansive, and it is expected. Paul says we are to give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving, I believe, is the mark of a growing Christian. We know that babies aren't very thankful, are they? They're not very grateful for what we do for them. They simply cry when they're hungry, cry when they need a change of clothes. Yet we never hear, "Thank you, Mom," or "Thank you, Dad," for doing that. As they grow, as they age, as they mature, we may hear those words. You know, that's still what we teach our kids, the two words, "please" and "thank you," and such an important thing. But it's more than a word. It's an expression. Also, our thanksgiving is the mark of a giving Christian. Think about that for just a minute. When we realize how much God has done for us, how much He continues to do, we should be more than happy to give something back to Him. This comes through our time and also our financial giving. We have lots of ways in which we can give. We had a good lesson on giving a couple of weeks back, and there's so many ways that we can give back. But someone has said that for Thanksgiving to be real, there must be thanks and there must be giving. Something to remember. God loves a cheerful giver. Thanksgiving is the mark of a growing Christian, a giving Christian, and also a glowing Christian. If you're thankful to God, you'll be glowing. People can see that in your lives. You'll not be constantly critical or pessimistic, but eternally thankful. Though the times are difficult, you know God will see you through. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen." Why not try Thanksgiving? Why not try to live this in our lives? Thanksgiving improves our perspective about ourselves, our perspective about our things, and our perspective about our God. I've read of the story of one American or Native American tribe that had a unique rite of passage for their 13-year-old boys. And on the night of the boy's 13th birthday, the tribal elders would take the boy into a very dense forest where he was to spend the entire night alone. And until this point, he had never been away from the security of his family or the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded and taken miles away from where he felt comfortable and left all by himself all night long. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of the thick woods. The night was specifically chosen to be moonless, and in the dark, every time a twig snapped or an animal howled, he would be reminded of the danger that he was in. And after what seemed like an eternity getting through that night, the sun would begin to rise in the east. And for the first time since he'd left the camp, he could see the forest around him. Looking around, the boy could see the trees, the plants, and the outline of the path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, this man being armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father. His dad had been there all night long, guarding him, watching over him. He'd never left him. He had never forsaken him. The boy was safe because his father was always nearby. What does the Bible tell us? God will never leave us, never forsake us. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. If that's the kind of God that you need in your life, that's what God offers. That protection, that safety, doesn't that cause us to be thankful in all circumstances? Don't we have a lot to be thankful for this morning? Amen. We do. We're going to offer an invitation in just a moment. We do this every time we come together. And it's a good thing because it's a time that you can respond if you have a need in your life. So often we'll have a Christian that'll come forward saying, I need prayers in my life. I need God to help me in a certain area in my life. And that's good. We should do that. We will do that for you this morning. One of our shepherds will pray for you if that is the case. Or you may be here this morning and not yet a Christian and wanting to do that. You know God's Word. You know what it says. You know the plan that God's Word leaves with us. And you want to follow that plan this morning. This is a perfect time to do that as well. But you know something I think we don't often think about is coming forward with a prayer of thanksgiving. At our first service this morning, we had a lady come forward and say, I just am so thankful for the way my husband has helped get me through the hard times in my life. I just want to offer a prayer of thanksgiving this morning, thanking God for placing him in my life. What a beautiful thing. Vinton prayed that prayer this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a similar expression of love, of thanksgiving, that you'd just like to make known this morning. We can go to God on your behalf. I don't know your situation. God does. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, won't you come as together we stand and sing.